would love to keep dwelling right there in song and praise with all of you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews 11. And as always, it'll be helpful to keep them open as I preach this morning. And I'll read Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, and then jumping a very large section that I want to encourage you to read. We're just not going to take the time to read it this morning. Then I'll read from the beginning of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Then from 12. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have loved fall and winter with a passion for most of my life. And I love living this distinct four-season climate called Minnesota. But my love for fall and winter has gotten a little bit tempered over the years. And part of it is because every year around now, there grows in me a sort of wistfulness, a reflecting and a yearning, not really melancholy, not sadness, it's not that. It's more like a reflective quietness that comes. Any of you have traces of that around this time of year? I think it's partly tied to being in this hinge season we're in right now with the shortening of days as winter approaches. The growing season's done, time outdoors is more limited, cold weather's coming, vacation's over, all of that. But I think it's also the ending of things that stirs this up in me. Things now past, and people now past. And so we have this fitting day at this time of year, All Saints Sunday, a time of looking back and a time of looking ahead. A day of gratitude and naming names as we've just done. Remembering people who died and who have had a shaping role in our lives. Remembering hands that have held us, some very physically, like our parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and others. Some who have held us more figuratively with their hands, who've held us up with love and support, who came in at the right points, who offer wisdom and encouragement. People we loved, hands that held us, now gone from our midst. And we remember them, and there's a wistfulness about that, a yearning, a longing. We have a long heritage of people behind us, every one of us does, a countless array of folks. Think of how it spreads out just biologically. Two parents, four grandparents, eight grandparents, and it goes out exponentially. The further back you go, the huger the numbers become. So I made a basic graphic that'll be projected just for a few minutes here to help with this. Two V's coming into, or it looks like an X, but it's meant to be two V's coming to a center point. Right now, and we're going to use it in three ways, but right now, look at that as you being at the very center and moving off to the left are the people who preceded you. parents, grandparents, going all the way back, people who have died. Now, in addition to those, to your biological legal family going back, now add those many others who have had some sort of positive Christ-like shaping influence in your life. The non-family saints of your life. Think of those hands that held you, literally or figuratively, touched you, blessed you, steered you, prayed over you. Who's in that list? Think of teachers, neighbors, mentors, friends, Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, pastors, camp counselors, people who cared for you and blessed you and invested in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Who's in that part? Not long after Sid and I were married, I got a call from Carol Peterson, which is kind of a generic name in Minnesota. And I couldn't think initially of who this was, and she reminded me that she was my first babysitter when my family moved here when I was 4 years old. And why I remember that call, she called to congratulate us, but why I remember it especially is that she said she didn't just babysit me, she prayed for me. She prayed for me for years, long after the babysitting was done. Carol Peterson was praying that I would come into life in Christ. Who's done that for you? Think of those people. Now, in the other part of the V, moving to the right, this one points forward, generating out from us. It's not about us, but generating out from us. This V, for some, has children and grandchildren, and out it goes. But we know that not everybody has children or grandchildren. But everyone has an influence on others. So think of people whose lives you are currently impacting, or whose lives you might impact. Maybe even people you don't even know. Impacting people as a follower of Christ. Think of the hands, your hands, blessing, touching other people, literally and figuratively. Who do you include going out this way? Look around this room. Think about your neighbor, your neighborhood, or your school setting, or work. Think of our mentoring ministry. You who are currently mentoring students or being mentored, or you who might be in the future. Think of all these people with whom, by God's grace, you've had or may have some type of shaping role pointing toward Jesus. And then it just keeps going out, way beyond the scope of our lives. Think of the generational impact that one life can have upon another and then so many others in the name of Jesus. Now, a second use, phase two with this. Rather than you being at the center, Jesus is at the center. On the left, we have the whole witness of the Old Testament, all pointing forward toward Him. This long section of Hebrews 11 that we didn't read this morning. You see all the names. If you have your Bible open, you see all the names in that repeated phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. The whole story moving toward the tip of that V to Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who in Himself is the new covenant God made with this world. It all points to and comes to completion in Jesus at the very center, crucified and resurrected. In his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote this about Jesus. In him all things were created, and he is before all things, and in him everything holds together. Everything. The very center. On the right side of that V, from Jesus comes the whole New Testament. The Gospels, the letters, the beginning of the church, the history of the church, spreading out from a tiny spot in the Middle East around the entire globe from then to now and all that is yet to come forever. Everything spreading out from Jesus at the center. Now, a third thing to do with this. With these two V's coming to a point in the middle. Think of them as representing heaven. This reality that always has been, always will be, magnificently, stupendously beyond our comprehension. Beyond space and time. On the left are those who have died. Who died before Jesus came. Part of that great cloud of witnesses listed in Hebrews 11. Listen to verses 39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Living before the arrival of Jesus and the new covenant that came through Him through His death and resurrection, our pre-Christ ancestors, by faith, saw this promise coming in Jesus. Look at chapter 11, verse 13. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. All these lives of faithfulness before Jesus, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and Anakos, all the prophets, all pointing toward Him at the very center of everything. Now, holding onto that image, with all that being on the left, then on the right, it points forward from the death and resurrection of Jesus to today, to the saints in heaven today, some who we named here this morning, and then moving on into forever. Both these, left and right, focused upon Jesus, the Lamb of God at the center of the throne. That's the image we have from John's revelation. Jesus is at the center. Heaven is not relaxing at some divine golf course or sitting on clouds playing harps. That's not biblical. That may be comforting and sweet, but that's not biblical. But this is. Heaven is where everything is complete and perfect. Heaven is where things are made new. Everything. No tears, no suffering, no crying, no pain. It's where we see Jesus face to face. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So we heard this earlier, but it bears reading again from John's Revelation chapter 7. Let this vision just wash over you. I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe, nation, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. all of life, past, present, future, is centered on, is redeemed by, and is made whole by Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, at the very center of everything. And He is the very one who said and who still says, come to me. Come. Let the children come. Come and follow. Come and drink. Come and live. Come and be forgiven. And I will come and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. These words of invitation are still being spoken to each one of us. Come to me. Come and follow. In this world where there are so many things we don't know and don't understand and can't get our heads around, there is still this reality, this promise of faith through following Jesus, that there is so, so much more than we can see or fully comprehend. We don't know how He will shape and steer our lives, but we know by faith, by God's Word, that He is faithful. He is faithful. It's what we read in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's what God's people before us are commended for. Their depth of faith, their bold trust, laying everything, even their very lives, on His promises. Going back to what I said at the beginning, I think this is where that wistfulness comes from. A longing to have things made complete. A yearning to be reunited with those we loved and who are now gone from our midst. A quiet, reflective readying to be face to face with Jesus. Along the lines of, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, the last words of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus, come. So here's a charge for us. Words of encouragement and challenge and hope all combined. It's the beginning of Hebrews 12, which begins with the word therefore. But just a footnote, the authors use that word therefore. The Greek word that he used here, that's translated as therefore, is unique. It's powerfully emphatic. It's not just a regular therefore. It's a therefore along the lines of everything that you have just read in this letter, everything is absolutely true and needs to be absorbed, because when it is, it therefore has huge implications for life forever. So listen to this charge. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and think forward and back and all around, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let's run with perseverance the race that is marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, which includes opening up salvation for everyone by going to the cross and dying, and then being raised. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May we not grow weary and lose heart with all the things going on in our lives and in this world. May we not miss His invitation to come. To come and receive what He gives. And may we not miss the wonder of salvation. The awe-filled reality of heaven that I pray we will all one day know. Instead, may we come. May we simply come, with our doubts, with our sins, with our wistfulness and our yearnings, with our various selves. And as it's written earlier in Hebrews, let's approach the throne of grace. Let's approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray. Lord, help us simply to receive, to take steps forward in faith and in trust, being sure of what we hope for and certain of things we don't yet see. And now prepare us for time at the table and at the rail. May we simply receive. Come, Lord Jesus, come.